this episode of The Commercial Break.
You know the story. Okay, it's as old as time. Like, someone becomes a guru, a cult starts, someone gets rich, and it's not you.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yes, okay. Correct.
All right, there you go. And no one gets spiritual enlightenment because everyone's butt hurt because they were in a cult. And now they have to get out of it and pay for therapy and all that other good shit.
Right.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, Yakas and Kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the Katie to my Amanda, Kristen, Joy, Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Wow. Wow, wow.
Yeah.
What a weekend. I mean, what a Friday night.
I know.
For Netflix. What a shit show. What a shit show for Netflix.
Yeah.
The PR disaster they deserve. I'm sorry. Love Netflix. They bring us a lot of guests, and I love their support of comedy. I think they've changed the landscape in a lot of good ways and then some bad. But they cannot do live
to
save their fucking
lives.
This is
like the second time,
this
right?
is the second, third, fourth time. I'm trying to figure out who does live worse, Elon Musk or Netflix. I can't decide. My dad and I watched the fights. I know you were watching too. We were texting
Jeff
back
and
I
were
forth.
Uh-huh. Or when we could.
Yeah. When it was available.
Yeah.
I mean, let me give you a little. So I tell my dad when we get first thing, I said, Dad, we got Netflix, right? He's like, we got Netflix. We're good. It's installed on my TV. I said, okay, great. Fantastic. He's got this newfangled. My dad spent money on a TV. I'm so proud of him.
I know.
Nice. Big, nice, flat screen, 4K, you know, the whole thing. So proud of him. And so he's got the little Netflix button on the remote.
Oh, yeah.
And so it turns out he does have a Netflix account. I was just shitting you guys. But anyway, so we turn it on right as it gets started at 8 o'clock. Everything is fine until right before the Taylor Serrano fight. And then shit starts going haywire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but here's the thing. So we're at my dad's house. Two of the kids are on iPads. My stepmom is in the other room watching TV. Astrid's, you know, looking for studio chairs in 4K or something. I don't know what she's doing down there. I got my phone connected to the internet. Like, we're not exactly in the middle of civilization with my father, so I thought maybe he's got, like, that old, you know, 1G internet going
right.
on.
Yes.
He's like, Dad, I think it's just your internet's congested. So we run around the house making everybody get off the internet. Everybody get off the internet. And no improvement whatsoever. It's sticky. It's like 102p. You know what I'm talking about? I said to Dad, I go, this is how you guys used to watch fights, like in 102 quality. Like it was just fuzzy and weird. It looked.
I know. I kept like getting out of Netflix, getting back into it because I thought that was the problem. I didn't know. I mean, it would freeze, stop, whatever.
So I did all the things that my, you know, technologically advanced calcium-filled brain knows to do, which is basically back out of Netflix.
Yes.
Turn on another show on Netflix to see if it has the same problem. And what I found, my dad was watching The Diplomat at some point, so which is a great fucking show, by the way.
It is a great show.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I love that. Carrie Washington, is that her name?
No.
No, Carrie Russell?
Yes,
Carrie Russell. Oh, my God. What a smoke show and such a great actress.
Yeah, it's a great show.
She was so good in The Americans. Did you watch The Americans?
I didn't, but
oh
I kind of want to go back and
watch The Americans.
Yeah.
So good. One of my favorite television shows. Anyway, I back out. I turn on The Diplomat. Perfect 4K quality. And then I go back to the live, and it's another fuzzy, weird, pixelated bullshit.
Yeah.
And all they're doing is talking. Like the common, you know, who is doing the common? Who is that? Who was the lady who was doing the Amber Rose?
No, Rosie Perez.
No, not Rosie Perez. But
she was
the lady
there.
Who was on the panel.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With the beautiful black girl with the curly hair. Was that Amber Rose?
No, that's not Amber Rose.
Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kate something. Well, anyway, I don't know. So we're watching it. Okay, great. You know, Rosie Perez, that obnoxious announcer who will not shut the fuck up to save his life.
Yeah, he
I don't know
bad.
Who that was. You see his hair?
Yeah.
That guy looked like he's like a Vegas dinner show guy who just like rolled into Texas Stadium and decided to do some commentary on the fights. He was really obnoxious. I'm sorry. I got to say, he drove me crazy.
And then you had Cedric the Entertainer, too.
Love Cedric the Entertainer.
I
thought Rosie did great.
Rosie did great.
Roy Jones Jr., I thought he lended some great perspective.
Insight.
Though the commentator, whatever that fucking twad blew in the blue, whatever his name was, and Roy Jones kept on fighting about Tyson biting his glove. But whatever. Okay, we'll get on with it. So So before the ladies start fighting, it's like turns into a shit show. Then I'm getting kicked out. So Chrissy and I are texting each other back and forth. I start going on X, which my dad has no clue how X works, right? So I'm on X. I'm like, look, Dad, X, everybody, there's like millions of people, you know, there's like 4 million people complaining about this right now. He's like, how do you do that? What channel is that you got on there on the X? How do you tune into a Twitter? And I'm like, Dad, you don't tune into a Twitter. You tune into a fight. What are you talking about? And so I'm just going through the list and I'm watching how many people are complaining with so many funny memes. It's just lovely. Netflix is falling on its face. And so I start telling my dad, I'm like, we're going to have to watch this tomorrow. Like I don't know how we're going to get through an entire fight like this, but we power through and we watch this fight between Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor. I have never in my life, and I'm a guy who will tune into the big boxing events. It's not my favorite sport in the world, but I understand that there's something a little bit majestic about boxing, about two people beating the tar out of each other and then smacking hands in the end and saying, you know, good fight. There is something like a little majestic. And I think it's just a boy in me who like, you know, I don't know, something about it. And I like listening to the commentators talk about strategy when it just looks like they're really just beating the shit out of each other. But apparently there's strategy to it. These two women put on a show like I have never seen in any boxing match ever.
It was incredible.
If you did not watch this and you have the stomach for it, go rewatch the Serrano Taylor fight on Netflix, and you are in for such a treat because these two women had the biggest balls in the entire stadium all night long.
They really did. I mean, they were going at it. I mean, there was the cut that happened on the face, and then there was blood everywhere. It was nuts.
Round three or round four, Katie Taylor headbutted, and I don't think on purpose, headbutted Serrano, and it opened up a wound above her eye on the eye, like on the outside of the eyebrow.
Stitches.
Oh, stitches. Yeah. We're gonna have to super glue that shit.
I know.
Together.
I was like, God.
And she started bleeding immediately, and it just got worse from there. It was grotesque. It was hard to look at. And then Netflix, in their infinite directorial wisdom, decided to pan in on that cut any chance they could.
It was just like, stop.
How many people threw up? I mean,
I thought I was going to see like her skull.
Yeah,
right there.
You could see her skull. It was gross. It was fucking gross. And I think they probably could have handled that a little bit different. If it was me in the directorial booth, I probably would have showed it from a little bit further away, not so close. But they were showing the cut guy like sticking stuff in there. And
that makes me shiver.
My dad and I am not too squeamish about blood in general. Pimple popping, yes, okay, but blood, not really. But I had to turn away. But after the third or fourth round, after that cut happened, these two just got within 1 foot of each other any chance they could, and smash for smash, hit for hit, pound for pound, they beat the shit out of each other, and these punches were landing with force, and each one of them, one would do a combination, right, left, left, left.
I know, I kept thinking somebody was going to go down.
Somebody had to go down.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I told my dad, I'm like, someone's going to die. This is Rocky IV.
I know.
This is Rocky IV. When they just start beating the shit out of each other, and it becomes a contest to see who's going to die first.
Yeah.
And I was like, somebody throw in the towel.
I know.
We were mesmerized by this fight. And thank God that Netflix or whoever had the wisdom to put this fight on before Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Because Jake Paul and Mike Tyson was the biggest flop since Geraldo tried to find
Capone's
vault. It was so fucking shitty.
It was. And we saw Mike Tyson's ass.
I mean, I know everybody's seen this meme right now, but I think I woke people up in the house. Like, everybody was sleeping except for me and my dad, and maybe my stepmom was up somewhere, but she was in the other room trying to, you know, not bother our internet connection. But halfway through the Serrano Taylor fight, in one of the in between rounds, they go to
the locker room
where Mike Tyson's son is interviewing Mike Tyson right before the fight. And so all you see is this chest up shot of the two guys, and he's saying, "Hey, Dad, what's going to happen tonight? You know, my it's just a fight. We're just to have some fun times. It's all in good fun. You know, I'm beat the shit out of him. You know, whatever he's saying." Yeah. Okay, a sweet moment. They give each other a hug, and Mike Tyson kisses his son. I thought it was a very sweet moment. Like, you know, "Dad, you're about to die. I love you." And as Mike turns around to walk away from the interview, the camera guy pans out, and Mike is walking away in a high-waisted thong.
Well, was that a jock strap?
It's a jock strap.
Yeah, yeah.
But all it shows is just his naked ass.
I know. I go, "Oh my God, I just saw his ass." And Jeff was like, "What? What?" I had to rewind.
Yeah. I was on the floor. My dad was like, "What was that?" And I go, "Dad, that was Mike Tyson's ass." And he goes, "Is that on purpose?" I go, "I don't think so, Dad. I really don't. I think it took the director too long to cut. I think he forgot to say switch to 3.
Yeah. That was really funny.
Becoming the world's instant classic meme of all over. I had to go to Twitter immediately where people were just on left and right. And I mean, but first of all, gotta say, for a 60-year-old guy, almost 60-year-old guy, what a great ass.
Looking good, Mike. Hey, yeah.
Mine looks worse. And I'm much younger than he is. But second of all, what a fuck up on behalf of Netflix. And then we get to the big show. You know, Jake Paul comes in spraying his brother spraying deodorant all over him and some car. Did you see that?
The car situation.
What
yes, and the spray.
World? Yeah, he's spraying this deodorant. I mean, come on, guys.
In the car. Yeah. I was like, really?
You aren't rich enough. You got to spray you got to spray your deodorant all over your brother. You think your brother is about to go in the ring with Mike Tyson? You think he wants deodorant all over him? I mean, just terrible from beginning to end. I wish.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell almost immediately that
it was the joke.
It was, was basically Jake Paul just not hurting him.
Well, I mean, you could tell from the beginning that it seemed to not be taking this all that seriously. I mean, the car, the entourage, which, by the way, I don't know where they find these bodyguards, but goddamn, are they big. Yeah. Did you notice?
Yes.
I thought, well, let's these guys get in and fight because these are the real heavyweights. Some of those bodyguards were like 10 feet tall, 600 pounds of pure muscle. Does Jake Paul need that kind of security? Maybe he does. I don't know. Anyway, so he comes out, razzle dazzle, the whole nine yards. And then Mike Tyson can barely walk to the ring, and he just comes out by himself looking a little scared, if I'm being honest. And from the moment the bell rings, Mike gets in there, lands a couple of punches, and it looked like Jake got hit. Like he felt it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was planted in the middle. It's like his legs were sewn to the ground, Mike Tyson. He couldn't move.
He
couldn't get on his back
around.
Foot. No. Mm-hmm. And Jake, between the height and the reach advantage, Jake Paul he could have destroyed Mike, quite frankly, because Mike was just a sitting duck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give Jake one piece. Like, I don't want to tell you that Jake is winning me over, but Jake, I turned the corner just the tiny bit on Jake over the weekend, and I'll explain why. He's getting paid a lot of money, and everybody wants to see the show, and everybody wants to see somebody drop somebody. That's why they're there. But it becomes pretty apparent by round number 3 that Mike is in no condition to fight anybody, let alone Jake Paul. I mean, maybe like a 59-year-old against a 59-year-old, maybe Mike then, where they're just both kind of standing there, not moving. Like, you know those snowmen that you blow up during Christmas and put out in your front lawn? They kind of bobble back and forth. Yeah, Mike and that... And a snowman. I mean, that would be a good fight. But Jake Paul, no. Jake's in peak physical condition, and he is really big, and he has a great reach, and he has knocked a lot of people out.
Yeah.
And you could just tell
he's 30 years younger, too.
Yeah, he's what, 28 years old? He's
27
years old. That's peak physical condition. When I was 27 years old, I'd kind of look like I do right now, but I could have been in peak physical condition. Now I'm just lucky to get up by 8 o'clock in the morning. This was not, the joke was on Netflix. The joke was on all of us. And Jake pulled off one of the greatest promotional con jobs ever, quite frankly. And
he had a lot to do with the women's fight beforehand. And in fact, on that little documentary series leading up to the fight, that I watched last week, he was talking about the girls.
I saw it.
He was like, that's the one I'm really interested in. And,
yeah.
And quite frankly, that was the one.
Yeah, that was it.
The winner. That and the ringside girls' boobs.
Yes, they looked like they were about to pop like balloons.
The camera would just be like right there. But I mean, the boobs on either side would be flanking the person that they were talking to.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, ring girls in 2024. I mean, I get it. But my dad was like, why are those ring girls still in there? Why do they still do that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, Dad, to be honest with you.
They're all influencers.
They are all influencers?
Mm, yeah, we were looking at stuff the next day.
Wow. The winner there is the plastic surgeons,
yes.
Because holy shit. That, I told my dad even said, those things look like they're going to pop. They did look like they were going to pop. They were in those tops were so tight. The boobs were just, they couldn't go anywhere else. Once the third round was over, it was like abundantly clear that this was not great for Mike Tyson. And as a matter of fact, the commentating crew, especially Roy Jones and Rosie Perez, they really had a lot of concern for Mike. They were like, this is not good. Like, he's not doing well. And he kept biting his glove like he was sucking his thumb or something.
Right,
did you see that?
I did.
Yeah, it was a little weird. But here's why I turned the corner a little bit. Jake, in being the showman that he is, being kind of the circus, I don't know, like, he's the guy who the circus runs around, right? He's the circus master. He's the, what do they call
it? The ringleader.
The ringleader. He's the ringleader. He's the tent master. He puts on the show. And I bet inside of him, being the problem child, quote unquote, the best thing that he could do for his career and to make himself more of a shit show is to knock Mike Tyson out. But he didn't.
No,
somewhere
he didn't.
Down in him, it said,
I
this
is just the respect.
This is my hero, and I'm not going to knock him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my hero, or at least my boxing hero, and I'm not going to knock him out. I'm not going to do him a disservice. Even though it would do me a service, I'm not going to do him a disservice. And I'm not going to, you know, go completely easy on him, but I'm just, let me hit him a few times, and then we'll get out of this.
Yeah.
The fight went so quick. It was no more than 30, 35 minutes long, because they did six or eight two-minute rounds?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 8 2-minute rounds. 16 minutes altogether, minute in between each round. It was over and done with. And you could tell that the crowd inside of the AT&T Stadium was highly disappointed in what was going on. They were booing. There was almost no cheering going on whatsoever. Can you imagine paying $43,000 to get inside of that?
Is that how much it was?
Actually, I didn't see any tickets for sale on the floor. When I looked, 5 minutes after this show started, I looked, they had so many tickets available. Up in the upper seats, you could get in the stadium for like $60. But if you wanted to get down in the lower bowl, it was a couple thousand dollars.
I can imagine.
I didn't see any seats available for the on-the-floor seats. And so I imagine those were all promotional tickets given away by Netflix and sponsors and all that other
celebrities
and all that other stuff. But this was just like, it was kind of disappointing from beginning to end. The Tyson fight was disappointing from beginning to end. Netflix is obviously terrible at doing live. They should just give it up.
Something, because in the end, it did all work fine, but it was leading up to it, it was really bad.
When you have the thing everybody is talking about, you have to have so many servers ready for that network traffic. You can't just scale it the moment that it starts happening.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was going on. They said like about 60 million people were probably streaming it live across the world. You had to be ready for 100 million people doing that, and they just weren't ready. The network, it just got congested, and they didn't, like, it took them an hour to fix it, because it wasn't until about the fifth round of the women's fight did things start getting a little bit more clear.
True.
Now, to their, I guess, credit, I'm not even sure I would give them credit for this, but to their credit, by the time that Paul and Tyson started, it seemed to have been fixed.
It does.
But when everybody started jumping on right before the Serrano fight, it was a shit show for at least 45 minutes to
it
an
was.
Hour. Shit show. Kicking me off. Scrambled television. Very blurry and
freezing.
Weird. Freezing. Mm-hmm. Slow, pixelated.
Oh, yeah.
To some degree, and I told my dad this, I said, I'm kind of glad this is a little bit fuzzy, because I don't want to look at that cut anymore. I mean, I just don't want to look at that cut anymore. That cut above her eye was just gross. And then what about afterwards, when Serrano was talking shit about Katie Taylor headbutting? They said, oh, they do it dirty. She just headbutts everybody. I don't think so. I think she was just fighting. That's my opinion. She just leans her head in and just starts fighting. What those two women, I will pay $100 to see that rematch. $100. I would definitely do pay-per-view to watch those two fight again.
Yeah.
Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, there will be no rematch. However, The word is that Tyson and McGregor are talking about that fight. Jake Paul and Conor McGregor.
Oh, now that.
MMA style, now that.
That'll be good.
Is a fight I will watch on YouTube after it's done, because Jake's not going to get me twice. There's no way. But at least Conor McGregor is kind of close to his age. What's Conor?
Exactly.
Conor's 35 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, at least Conor McGregor would put on a fight. He has the legs to put on a fight. Mm-hmm. So, mad respect to Mike Tyson. You're still the greatest that ever lived. I don't care. This is just a little pockmark on you. You know, just it's a little pockmark on an otherwise exemplary boxing record. And Jake, I give you a little bit of respect, but you did pull one of the greatest boxing con jobs ever, making everybody believe that this was going to be the fight that they needed to watch. And I sure am glad that I did, but for not the reasons I thought. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
No, it was different than I thought.
I wasn't disappointed that even though I have 34 children who wake up at 5:15 in the morning, that I stayed up till 2 a.m. to watch all of it. What time did you get to bed?
Yeah, it was 1:32.
Yeah, by the time I took a shower and got in the bed, it was about 2 a.m. And my lovely wife let me sleep in. So the first time since I can remember, I mean, I think I slept till like 10:15. That's amazing.
That
when you have children
yeah,
and you sleep
exactly.
till 10:15, life is good. And when you sleep till 10:15 and you don't have calcium as an excuse anymore, that is a fantastic day at the office. So, all right, let's take a break. Lots more to talk about. We'll be back.
Brian might have just said it's time to take a break, but some of us have to work right now. And by work, I mean gently nudge you, nay, beg you, to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Because listen, the more followers we get, the more clout I get with Chrissy and Brian. If you've got something to say, give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3TCB or shoot us a text. One more thing, check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, where you can find all of our audio and video and even request a new sticker from the Contact Us form. Bye!
Okay, a little housekeeping before we get started. I'm going so fast this morning, my mouth can't keep up.
It's that powdered cold coffee.
Oh, it's that powdered cold coffee. That shit is full of caffeine, but not full of taste. I'll tell you that much. I mean, my wife came to me like a month and a half ago. I love Starbucks. And the only reason why I love my Starbucks is because it's very close to the house. It's like I can walk there. Mm-hmm. So I have no like particular allegiance to Starbucks. It's just a familiar taste that I like the taste of the coffee. It's fine. It does the trick and it's fully caffeined, right?
Yeah,
but my wife says everybody, and the cold brew coffee there is pretty fucking good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do have to say it's pretty good.
I agree.
Is it as good as I've ever had? No, but it's pretty fucking good. So my wife starts telling me about this TikTok rage, the Nescafe cold brew powdered coffee, right? It's you just put it in a cup, you put some water and ice in there, the cream, sugar to your taste. She starts telling me about this and she's like, listen, we could really save a lot of money on Starbucks because I spend, what, $2,000 a year on Starbucks? I don't have $2,000. American Express would like that $2,000 back. So I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try for the sake of the family and do my, you know, every once in a while, Astrid goes around tightening up the belt and
it's good to do.
My coffee is the first thing to go and all of my British extensions on Amazon Prime. BritBox and Acorn TV. She's like, are we still watching those? And I'm like, every night.
Yep.
And she's like, do we really need them? I always feel guilty. It's like, she makes it sound like it's food in the children's mouth or BritBox. And I'm like, are the kids going to eat? Probably not. Well, just one more month of BritBox if you don't mind. They look fine. They look fine. You can see their ribs. They're kids. The ribs will be fine. There goes that fucking microphone. I'm getting a new one when we change the studio. Swear to God I am. It's decided. Astrid, no more food for the kids. I need a new microphone. So I try that Nescafe, that cold brew coffee, and she buys it. And she made one the first time we got it in the mail or Amazon or whatever. And it was really good. And since then, I have not been able to replicate how good it tasted because I keep trying different combinations and it just doesn't taste all that good to me. And it does taste powdery. Mm-hmm. Like it tastes like powder. Anyway.
The powdery stuff is hard to get right. You have to be able to mix it the right way.
Is that it?
So
maybe I should take one of those, like she has a blender, like the coffee blenders. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should take a coffee blender and do it that way. Anyway, not what I wanted to talk about. Little house cleaning. House cleaning. Little house cleaning going on here. Okay, let's do some house cleaning.
Let's
all right.
It.
Number Number one, 12 days of TCB. First of all, we're going to be doing fresh episodes through the entire holiday season. I know a lot of podcasts take off time during the holiday season. Some don't even send any episodes out. I can't believe that. That's a dumb thing to do. But anyway, they do. We won't because we need, because I have to pay for my powdered coffee. So we have fresh episodes coming at you all holiday season long, including the 12 days of TCB, the 13th through the 25th. We'll do some special stuff in between there. We'll talk about a few charities that we like in the hopes that we can raise some money for that. We've gotten some suggestions. We'll take a few of those suggestions. We'll put them out there. Also, I've done a little research, trying my best to make sure we're not, you know, sending money to Jake Paul. Number one, that's about our schedule. Number two, The Office Ladies is now on the Odyssey app, anywhere you can find your podcast, really, but they are here with Odyssey. And now The Office Ladies are, you know, they were,
I love those Office Ladies.
Yeah, they're so, I really do like the show. It's a rewatch show, or it was a rewatch show. They've now been through all the Office episodes. So now they're going to do more of like, kind of like a thing like we do, you know, chitty chatty. They're going to take, comments and questions from the listeners. I'm not getting paid to say this. I'm just sharing with you that the Office Ladies are now on Odyssey. We're happy to have them on our network, and for what reason I don't know, but they're happy to they're happy to be here too. So go check out the Office Ladies. And then number three, it has been decided in season number six, which will start early next year, in January, we will be doing an episode of The Commercial Break during the weekdays. I'll tell you more about this when the time comes, during the weekdays on Twitch. So we will be recording an episode live that you can tune into, comment, ask questions, tell us how terrible we are, all that good stuff right there live. So you heard our feelings while
that's
it's happening.
That's exciting and scary at the same time.
Anytime we do anything with technology, or where people can actually tell us how bad we are while it's happening, it's going to be, we're either going to be a runaway hit. There's three things are going to happen. One of three things is
going
to happen.
Or we're going to run away.
Yeah, runaway hit, yes. All the audience is going to run away. We'll have like one Twitch lit follow, like we have on all of our live shows so far. Or number three, it's just going to be, it's going to be the funnest place to go make fun of two idiots talking on Twitch. Twitch is a tough place. I've been to a lot of those Twitch channels, and if you're not doing what they want you to do, it's it can be a real shit show.
I imagine.
I imagine some little teenager is going to find us like randomly, and then he's going to tell all his friends this is the best place to talk shit about two old white people.
Yep.
But whatever, we'll take it. We'll take the listeners. Okay. What did I want to talk about? I wanted to ask you if you had seen the end of Breath of Fire.
I did watch Breath of Fire.
Okay.
Yes, I did watch the end of
You watched the end of Breath of Fire, and tell me more about what you thought about, this young lady.
I don't know.
Guru Jagat.
Yeah.
Guru Jagat.
I mean, the fact that she died, I knew that was happening, right? We knew that from earlier episodes, but you know, you didn't know what manner she died, what happened. It's a little suspicious. I can kind of see how some conspiracy theories might have grown from this, because she was really off the rocker. I mean, it was 2020?
2020.
And yeah, and so she then couldn't do the live shows. She couldn't make money anymore. She was in trouble. What was the thing, too, with the – did she meet somebody?
She met a guy, and she fell in love with the guy very quickly. Like, it was a very fiery relationship. Someone called it an intertwining of two narcissistic personalities driving the worst in each other, right? And they don't focus on him a whole bunch, and maybe that's because legally they, you know, they don't want to be liable for anything they say about him. And where is he? What happened to him?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so she dies in the end of a rather strange, like, she breaks her leg. And then she gets a pulmonary embolism and dies of a heart attack weeks after she had the surgery for that broken leg. Now, she did fly from, she broke the leg in Germany. She flew back. We're talking about this Breath of Fire. This young lady who took over Kundalini Yoga, or took the banner and ran with it.
Right.
Kundalini Yoga. From the guy who started it, who was Yogi Bajran. Back in the 60s and 70s, and he had hundreds of thousands of followers. He started Yogi Tea. He started many, many businesses, actually. But what we learned in the 90s and early 2000s, after a book was written about him, is really he was a serial sexual abuser. Who was also a con artist, who made a lot of businesses that simply conned people. That's it. Including one where they would call, this is the craziest, they would call offices in the 80s. And they would be like, you're out of printer paper. And they would be like, oh, we are? yes, you're out of printer paper and we need to refill it. And they would be like, okay, I'm sending 50 boxes of printer paper.
Uh-huh.
Sounds good to me. They would invoice them and then never send the paper.
It.
They were just like, they were literally blind calling people offices and telling them they needed office supplies.
And a part of that too was that apparently the yogi guy said karma doesn't work through the phone.
Yes.
You're okay on the phone. To scam people.
When you use technology, don't worry about
it.
Karma doesn't worry. So this guy was really, and we also learned that Yogi Bhajee
didn't even do yoga.
And this ancient secret yoga that he brought to the world, Kundalini yoga, was never ancient nor a secret.
It was something
he made up almost whole cloth, taking pieces from other things he had learned as a Sikh back in Pakistan. So this is, and listen, if you've ever done Kundalini yoga, then you know there is something to this.
Yeah.
So whatever he stumbled upon, he stumbled upon something.
I mean, any breath work is a real thing.
Sure.
I mean, it can help you relax. It can help you, you know, get excited.
Absolutely.
Make you kind of lightheaded.
And give you a hot, hard one, too.
So breath work's a real thing. Sure. But yeah, it was under a false premise that this was some ancient thing.
Yeah, listen. So here's the point. The guy was a con artist, basically. And he did not such great things. Now, a lot of the people that followed him went on to do great things in the world. But he himself... So it's hard to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But this young lady, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, went to L.A. and started reinvigorating the Kundalini yoga, practice by opening up a studio in L.A. And it became the most trendy, fashionable thing. And she became...
Oh, yeah. Celebrities were going.
Yes.
Madonna was there. Demi Moore. All these people.
And she became a guru herself. People really started following her. She took advantage of social media. She was doing lives. She was doing YouTube. She was doing all this other stuff. And people really started following her. But in 2020, she was also known to spend money with abandon.
Yes.
She would, and people were getting conned is the only way to say it. If you went to level one, then you had to go to level two. Then you had to go to level three. Sounding familiar, Scientology? Had to go to level four. The more money you paid,
the closer you got to spiritual realization.
Yes. And the more money you would pay, the more access you would get
to her.
Guru Jagat. That's right. That is such horseshit. Mm-hmm. And against everything, if you really pay attention to this kind of new age spiritual movement, it's really, she would call it prosperity yoga or prosperity meditation. Prosperity
like
yoga.
Prosperity preaching.
Yes. By the way, the Buddha would walk 50 miles in a day to sweep someone's front porch for a grain of rice.
Yes.
That's it. And he didn't expect that grain of rice. If you really take this back to all of these like lineages, this is abhorrent to anything that they preached or practiced. I'm not saying you have to like, you know, whip yourself on the back in order to like, you know, get spiritual
enlightenment. Same with the prosperity preaching within the Christian world.
Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it amazing how all of these people preach that you can get rich by making me rich?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up. And it's just like, think about that for one fucking second before you write the check. Listen, people should get paid for the work that they do. $5 for a class of yoga, $25, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Cool. But the fact that she wanted people to follow her, give her money, and be in power is just like, should be a red flag altogether. And in 2020, when everything shut down and her money started going away because people could no longer go to these conferences and all this other
workshops,
she freaked out and she got super conspiratorial and she started... The vaccines are going to awaken with the 5G waves. This is where a lot of this started, like a seed of this. It gets amplified in this community, a community that I know very well. It gets amplified in this community because of people like Guru Jagat. As a matter of fact, maybe because of Guru Jagat. She starts talking about crazy shit, skinwalker aliens running around and lizard people, you know, controlling the world and pedophile rings that extend through the entire, you know, universe. And it's like, Hold on. I thought we were just meditating here. I didn't realize science wasn't science.
Yeah.
But it is here where you have to be careful because a lot of times in New Age spirituality, they will claim that the reality is not reality. It's your reality and you get to make it and don't listen to anyone else's reality. Fine. Great. But really what makes reality is that all of us, rather than having our own realities walking around in a fucking psychedelic haze, is that we can all agree on some things are actually happening as we see them together, like science and math, and it's raining, and, like, you know, people are getting saved by this or that, or people are dying because of this or that. Truth is truth. It's facts. That's our connection to each other, is if when we can agree on these things. It's a system of trust that we're all seeing and doing the same things and getting some similar results. But Guru Jaga just throws all that without the baby with the bathwater when her money goes away and decides that everyone is an alien. It was crazy.
Yeah, it really took a turn.
It did. And so history repeated itself. She started becoming a con artist, telling people to work for free, taking their money, blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. You know the story. Okay, it's as old as time. Like, someone becomes a guru, a cult starts, someone gets rich, and it's not you. That's it, right?
Yes, okay. Correct.
All right, there you go. And no one gets spiritual enlightenment because everyone's butt hurt because they were in a cult. And now they have to get out of it and pay for therapy and all that other good shit.
Right.
Which is another cult, according to Guru Jagat. But let's go. Let's move on from it. Guru Jagat goes to Germany. As all this is going on, like 2022, she runs to Germany to do a meditation retreat. And she falls in the shower. She breaks her ankle pretty badly, breaks her leg. And she refuses surgery in Germany for whatever reason, probably because the skinwalking aliens are the ones that are doing the surgery. Yep. They're trying to kill her. And she decides to fly back to LA to have the surgery. And the doctors are like, don't do that. Of course you don't do that. You've got a compound fracture. You need to have surgery immediately, or you could have all kinds of terrible things could happen. Mm-hmm. But she does it. She survives the flight. She gets there. They do the surgery. Everything's fine. They have her on blood thinners to hopefully avoid an embolism. But an embolism, quote unquote, happens a couple weeks later, and she dies of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's left very open-ended, right?
Yeah.
The documentary tries not to skirt into conspiracy theory land too much. It doesn't want to be what it's essentially ascribing not to be. So it wraps it up a little neatly where people are saying, well, we want to believe that she's still alive, but the truth is, you know, there's a death certificate and she's probably dead. But you wonder.
Yeah, you do kind of wonder. It was kind of, and I don't mean to say sound callous saying this, but it was kind of convenient that she just died.
Well, yeah, if she's really dead, then it sounds callous. But if she's not dead, if she is in fact living somewhere else and just has avoided responsibility, then, you know, it's not callous. It's whatever. So I'm not here to say one way or the other. I don't know. I don't know Guru Jaga. I don't know anybody who's connected to her.
I don't really
directly.
Care.
Yeah, either. I don't really care, to be honest with you. I mean, should anybody care? Honestly, if you spent your money to go to those things, if you felt better in the moment, well, you felt better in the moment. If you gave Guru Jaga $6 million and she's no longer responding to your phone calls, well, that's a different thing altogether.
Yes.
But if you spent, you know, $1,000 on a retreat and it made you feel better in the moment, well, then that's on you, isn't it? And you got something out of it.
Exactly.
You felt better in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that if she did something illegal, she should shirk responsibility, but it's 2024 and that seems to be in vogue. So
it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Wow. You don't need a guru to point you in the right direction. There are lots of books. And you can go to retreats and you can go to classes and you can commune with like-minded people and do like-minded things and have fun. But when you start deifying somebody, then you're getting into real gray area where you're vulnerable and they are powerful. And then if they are so great and they have attained some kind of enlightenment here on earth that you're looking for, why? Why are they so much better than you are? Why are they so much different than you are? How did they do it, but you can't unless you pay money? How did they all of a sudden get anointed, but you have to pay a bunch of money or do all these tasks or suck them off or whatever it happens to be to get there? Think about that for just 1 second. If they did it, why can't you? If they did it without paying anybody, getting molested, conning somebody into spending lots of money, if they did it, why can't you? The truth is, you can. So I'm not sure that anybody in the commercial break audience, you know, would be vulnerable in this way. But I'm just sharing in case there's someone like on the outskirts of one of these like weird new agey or maybe not even new agey, you know, Christian, whatever. Why do you have to give all your money to them so that you can do what they did, which is become rich on their own. Can't you just, like, you know, save that money? Like, okay, you want to give to the church because they're, you know, giving to homeless people and you like that idea, or, you know, it's Christmas and some of the kids don't have presents and you're going to give some gifts. I get all that stuff. I do all that stuff. But I don't give my money endlessly to somebody who claims to have some kind of enlightenment that I don't have, and I never have. And I'll tell you why. Because I just asked the simple question, why can't I? Why can't I do that? Like, can I do that on my own?
Yeah.
Why do I need you to do that for me? Why do I need to pay you to do that for me? The devil's always in the details. It always is. And the reality for a lot of these new age places is they blend reality and truth so that they can get something out of you. That's it. Everybody ends up rich but you. And that's, at the end of the day, what really fucking drives me crazy about some of these places. Everybody ends up rich except for me. Why not me? Why can't I have my own religion, Chrissy?
Well, it's another scam, and there's a million of them out there. So this one just happens to involve Yogi.
That's, that's Yogi, right. Yogi BG. Yogi TCB.
I really like Yogi T too. And now I don't know.
Well, and they never really tell you whether or not those ladies are getting the money or not. Because if they were, there's like a whole harem of women with the original Yogi Bhajrat. There's a whole harem of women who signed NDAs before he died. And if they signed the NDA, they got 50% of his wealth indefinitely, like for life, as long as they were alive. And some of the women decided to fuck the NDA. I'm going to write a book, or I'm going to tell my story about how I was abused.
Yeah.
And so Yogi T is one of the things that they would benefit from if they were in fact getting the money. But no one ever specifies in the documentary whether or not they're getting the money. Yeah, because I'm not going
to
do Yogi T anymore. Yeah. If they don't get the money, I'm not buying Yogi T. If it's just enriching some fucking, you know, 60-year-old white dude with a long beard and a fucking headdress, then I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
I'm not doing it for a guy in white robes. I'm not doing it.
I'm going to look into it.
Yes, but if it's going to those ladies who were abused, and that's a different story altogether, I'll drink Yogi tea till I'm blue in the face. While we're on it, send money to Chrissy and Brian care of GoFundMeWereBroke.com. GoFundMeYou'reEnlightenedWereBroke.com. We'd love to have your money. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back.
In case you guys were wondering, I am currently trapped in the closet in the studio being forced to record liner after liner, and I never get to leave. So help me by following us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And go to our website, tcbpodcast.com, for more information about Brian and Chrissy and access to our massive catalog of video and audio episodes. Now, please, text us at 212-433-3TCB and tell Brian and Chrissy to let me out of the closet.
All righty. You know, I told you we went to my dad's house this weekend.
Yes, you did.
So we are, so we had a great time. You know, dad and I watched the fight, and then we woke up on Saturday, and then we went and bought some accoutrements here for the studio that we're changing for the 55,000th time. My stepmom was like, do you guys change that studio often? And I go, well, we change the wires pretty often because you can see we paid a guy to come in here and professionally clean up these wires. Mm-hmm. And this is what we ended up with.
I mean,
if I could
I'm
show you a shot
it
of that
right now.
It is a hot mess back there.
It is a
there.
Hot mess.
Just the thought of undoing all those wires and doing them again is making me like sick to my stomach. I was in here last night staring at them and going, I have no clue. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah,
I don't know where to start. I really don't. Last time I had to put a piece of tape around each one and name it, which is probably what I'm going to have to do again and then do it. But I'm not paying anybody to do it again because if this is what I got when I paid, I can do that on my own. I can do nightmare on my own. I don't need it. So we were up in the South Carolina Clemson area. We went to this rug store, right? And we go to this rug store and it's pretty empty. It's like a rug outlet. It's where they make area rugs. And so we're buying one for the new camera angles that we're going to have. We're buying, you know, just to look a little pretty. And so Astrid's, we're all looking at rugs. It's this huge room with all of these rugs, some of them laying on these big tables, some of them hanging up on those big, you know, like it looks like a picture book almost. You can move them and they do it.
Yeah, okay. They move. Right. they're hanging.
Yeah, they're hanging and they're huge and they move and you can, you know, pull them and then they open them up and see what they're looking like. So it's huge. It's empty. There's no one in there. There's like maybe two other people in there and a couple of people who work there. And in the corner, they have this little house for the kids, like a little playhouse for the kids, a little play area for the kids, right? We've been there before. This is like the 18th rug we've bought because Blue manages to ruin every fucking rug that we have. And the prices are right, a couple $100 for these huge rugs. And that's the right price when you have kids and or Blue, because Blue's going to ruin it. You know she is. Just don't spend a lot of money on it. So we go in here and, you know, the kids are kind of wound up. And so it's like, okay, let them run around and have some fun. There's no one in here, whatever. What can they do? They can't damage anything unless they decide to take a shit on one of the carpets. Like, you know, and they're pretty good children in the first place. They they're not, you know, they're just running around having fun. So I'm at one end flipping through carpets. And my kid is at the other end. I see him running all the way to the other end. It's like football field long building.
They're huge.
And I can see him and he's like, he's so cute. One of my kids is so curious about everything. There's an office door that's open and I can see him like, just like kind of moving his way into the office, probably to get on the computer and Google like Disney Cruise
course,
or something, right?
Course.
Yeah. He wants to, he's desperately trying
to. He's looking for a TV, yes, a computer, a remote.
He's desperately trying to book himself on a Disney Cruise. Every time I turn around, he's on the Disney Cruise website trying to figure out how he spends dad's credit card to get on one of those cruises. Which is cute, but it's annoying that, hey, stop, get off, stop it. So he's at the other end and
he's peering in.
Yeah, he's peering in. And there's, you know, the couple people that have worked there are milling around and I'm at the other end and I go, hey, hey, you, hey, get out of there. Come here. Get over here. Get over here right now and get over here. Right. I'm just yelling that to them. And all of a sudden, I see out of the corner, like my peripheral vision, that someone is like running toward me. And I'm like, oh, what's going on over there? And then I'm yelling, now, let's go. And this guy comes running up and he goes, yes, sir. Chrissy. I am dying a slow death inside as I realized.
Thought he was calling me.
Yes,
you were calling him.
Yes.
You, said, get,
you
over.
Get over here. No. Hey, stop that. Get over here. This guy had no idea. He thought I was yelling at him and he came running over and I was like, oh my God, dude. Oh my God. I go, oh no, 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 no. I'm so sorry. I was talking to my kid over there and he's like, oh, that's all right, man. I thought you needed me. And I go, I just was screaming. I'm so sorry. He's like, well, I just thought you needed something real quick. And I was like,
quick, I need quick. This rug.
No.
Get over here.
Get your ass over here right now. I never felt so embarrassed in my life. Meanwhile, my skin is falling off my bones. So I'm taking this like Florosoracil or whatever it is. I don't know. Have you ever taken this?
No. Okay. You were trying to tell me about it last week.
My stepmom was taking it too. It's called...
Is it oral?
No, it's a cream.
Oh, it's a cream.
Oh, you couldn't do this oral.
Okay.
It will kill you. It's radiation. It's chemo.
Oh.
For sunspots. Like when you have fair skin like I do, and yet you love to bake in the sun for hours at a time without sunscreen, then as you age, you get these sunspots, mm-hmm. which look like freckles, but they're not really freckles. They can have a little texture. Like they can just be a patch of rough skin. It's essentially a form of skin cancer that's not deadly. Like it's not going to kill you. But your cells get a little, like the skin gets a mm-hmm. little rough, just tiny little patches of rough. So you put this cream on your face for like 3 or 4 weeks, depending on how the doctor tells you to take it. And over the period of the first couple of days, it starts to get a little red. The spots start, it's amazing because it only targets those particular cells and it starts to get a little red. And then after a week or so of using it, all of the sudden your face is just like melting off. It looks like I have a terrible sunburn with blisters. That's what it looks like. And it's horrible and it feels really painful.
Jeez.
And then it doesn't look great when you're staring up close. So you and I went to that meeting on Friday and the first thing I wanted to say was, excuse my melting face.
Well, I noticed you had a little something on your cheek there, but
that's it.
Yeah. Other than that,
and now it's already starting to go away. It gets nasty, it gets really angry, and then it goes away. And when it goes away, you stop using it, right?
Okay.
When it starts to heal itself, then you stop using it. But it's really, so there I am standing there like this pockmark. Look like I got fucking beat up guy, you know, like just yelling at people in the empty warehouse. It was insane. I was just so upset. So we go and then we go and we have some food at this barbecue place, which is
it was really delicious.
The Smoking Pig in Clemson. I'm going to give them a shout out. The food there is just delicious. It's a great
place.
Love
a good barbecue.
Yeah. They have all this, they have this huge yard out front with like these old train containers, shipping containers. They have a couple bars outside. They have train container on top of train container. And then they have all this stuff for the kids and adults, which you see a lot of, like, the young, like, college kids are there, you know, drinking and playing.
Sure.
Bocce ball. Yeah. They have a big fire pit with, you know, going, so it was cold outside. And then they have all this stuff the kids can do. So we let them run around, and then you go and eat. And then they have this thing, which I just think, I thought about this. We've seen this so many different places, but now I think about it, it's brilliant. They let you take a permanent marker and write on the walls.
Oh.
And no matter, whatever you want to write, wherever you want to write it, on the decorations, on the door sills, on the tables, on the chairs, wherever you
a
can write.
A permanent marker.
Permanent marker.
Okay.
So there are tens of thousands of names, little quips, little drawings all over the walls, up and down, in and out of this place. That's not that old. It's probably 6 or 7 years old, this place. And so the kids start getting fascinated by this, and they want to write. I thought about this. It is entertainment. It will keep you coming back because, you know, you're gonna, like, next time you're in Clemson, you're like, let's go check out our signature. Mm-hmm. And then you never have to repaint the walls ever.
That's true.
You know, or, and it can hide any dirty spots that you have either, right?
Yeah.
So the kids and I are writing out, you know, we're running all over the restaurant, writing stuff all over the place, like a bunch of fucking morons. And one of my daughters, the baby, is, so we're eating at this table in this room, and then there's a table behind me. So, or actually in front of me, behind Astrid, who's sitting facing me. And then the baby is sitting next to Astrid. Well, she's big enough to stand up, and she talks and walks and all that stuff. She stands up at the beginning of the meal. There's a table sitting there with three people who are just trying to enjoy their dinner. And the baby stands up and is staring directly at that table. Now, I love children. So if that was me on the other table, I would just have fun with this
too.
The entire meal. I would love it, right? It would be great. But I think these people are kind of like, maybe they're having a conversation about something serious. Maybe this is, like, not the time for them to play. I'm not saying they were being dickish about it. They weren't. But you could tell that it was just getting a little bit annoying. But I could not convince my daughter to sit down and stand straight. She just kept on getting up and looking, not saying a word,
just staring
deadpan
them
staring them down. To the point, at one point, I noticed that one of the guys kind of turned his chair away from her. And I thought, my kid, this is trouble wherever we go. I'm yelling at kid. I'm yelling at everybody in the carpet place.
People.
Yeah, now you can't have a comfortable meal around my kids. They have this putt-putt out back. My kids are putting golf balls everywhere they can, like in their pockets, in their shirts. They're trying to steal the golf balls. I'm like, you can't do that.
This place sounds like a big playland.
It's lovely. It is.
Yeah.
It's lovely. You got to go. I mean, if you ever go, you got to go. It's wonderful. The smoking pavement.
I pass through there when I'm going up to Greenville.
Well, so. You should go. Mm-hmm. Stop by. Take the kid. The kids would love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's like a far drive to go just for a meal, but the kids would love it. I know they would.
Yeah.
Excuse me as I take my glasses off since my skin is literally growing in around them. Yes, it's melting. Okay, this is the last 2 more days and then I'm done with this because it's burning. It's really hurting at this point. But the funniest part about this night, which we just had a great night. Then we got some ice cream and every, you know, 8 o'clock at night, kids are ready to go to bed. We pull up to my dad's place, which has a gate, and there's a couple gates there. It's one of those huge neighborhoods on a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And the front gate, which you have to go, you either have to call on the back gate or you have to go in through the front gate and check in with the security guard,
yes.
But we have a pass. So we usually go in the front gate. So we go into the front gate and the guy is sitting in this security house, mm-hmm. right? And
the
he
hut.
Gets out and he, yeah, the hut. That's right. Probably with a heater, a shitter, and it smells like Doritos. I can only imagine, right? But listen, these guys are getting paid $15 an hour to basically not do it. I mean, who's he going
to
stop
people
from
through?
Who's really, someone with bad intentions is really going to be stopped by a gunless security guard at a shitty little hut at the top of a hill? No, of course not. But he comes out, guy I've seen a million times before. Like, you know, every time we go there, this guy's, at some point during the trip, this guy's checking us in or checking us out. And the guy is like, hey, y'all there for the Airbnb? And I go, what? And he goes, y'all coming in for the Airbnb? And I go, no, I'm going to a different house. It's not an Airbnb, is it? And I go, RBB? It's RBB. What is RBB? And he goes, Airbnb. You know, the Airbnbs, the ones you rent. And I go, Airbnb? That's what I say. RBB. I'm like, RBB? What is it, RBB? This guy had that southern accent where you almost understand what they're saying.
You can get into that in the Carolinas.
Yes.
Sure.
In the Carolinas, there's some people who speak with that.
Mm-hmm. R.
Yeah. Air is R. And then, bear is bar. So you don't understand a fucking word. Chrissy, we were sitting there for like 30 seconds trying to misunderstand each other.
Yeah.
RBB. And I'm like, Arby's? Did he say, I'm looking at Astrid. I'm like, did he say Arby's? Are we
She's
here for
like,
Arby's?
I don't know.
Oh, Astrid is even more clueless because if there's one thing that trips up Astrid, it's a southern accent.
I'm sure.
It really trips Astrid up. Mm-hmm. If it's very thick, she has a really hard time. Fair enough. Like if we go to certain places in Spain where like Galicia, where all of a sudden, everything becomes a th instead of a th. It's really difficult to understand that Spanish. I already have a hard time doing it anyway. So this guy is RBB's us like for 30 fucking straight seconds. And I'm like, I don't fucking have any clue what's going on.
What are you saying?
But he was RBB'ing us the whole time. RBB, there's a bar over there. It's RBB. Airbnb. Airbnb, kids. Airbnb. That's the way it goes.
That's the new one.
Yeah. What'd you do this weekend?
Jeff and I had a little, Friday night we watched the fight, obviously.
A little lovemaking.
Saturday, we did. We had a date night.
We did. She said we did. Good for you guys.
We had a date night and went out to a fun dinner. Got a little dressed up and enjoyed ourselves.
When was that? Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Oh, where'd you guys go?
We went to Southern Bell.
What's Southern Bell? Never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's down there in my, little bubble of downtownness.
Yeah, yeah, you don't know. We had a meeting outside the perimeter, which is the perimeter, the 285 that circles the town. It's a highway that's just a circle. That's all it is. Uh-huh. And Chrissy had to go just outside the perimeter for a meeting
was
the other day.
Fish out of water.
She didn't know what to do. She was like, do I need a pass?
Where am I?
Yeah, she brought her passport. Check into the restaurant with her passport.
Well, we've got such great restaurants downtown that we kind of just tend to stay in that little zone, which I think a lot of people do in Atlanta, stay in their zone no matter where that is.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because the traffic is crazy and you can't just, there's so much new stuff all over, you can't try it all.
Yeah, I am not snobbish one way or the other. Yeah. I get it. Like there's some people who live outside the perimeter who won't go inside the perimeter.
Yeah.
It's the same way. It's OTP, ITP. I don't play that game. Like, whatever, wherever it is. And I've lived downtown, and I've lived outside the perimeter. I've lived in every part of this fucking town. I've had 34 different residences because no one wants me.
We have.
Yeah. No one wants me or you. But Southern Bell, was it good? What kind of food was it?
It was really good. Well, it was Southern inspired.
Go figure.
And it was just, it was lovely food. Salad, fried green tomatoes. Some
I love me a fried, good fried green
ribs.
Tomato.
Yeah. There was a pasta dish. I don't know. It was delicious. And the atmosphere was lovely. It's right there next to the Landmark Theater. So in that plaza.
Druid Hills
plaza.
Area.
No, I'm sorry. Not the Landmark Theater, but the Plaza Theater.
Oh, the Plaza Theater. Okay.
Off Ponce.
Got it. Off Ponce.
Yes.
Right. I used to live right there.
Yeah,
I lived right there. I walked there all the time.
Is
Opera Diem still there?
Yeah. Well, that's over by the Trader Joe's.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the other side. That's over by the Trader Joe's. Wow. Lovely.
Yeah, so
good for
nice.
You. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Little lovemaking with Jeff. Congratulations
to Jeff.
Congratulations, Jeff.
And then we watched football yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Jeff says. Blew off a little steam. Congratulations to Jeff. Watched a little football yesterday. Watched football on Saturday.
Yeah,
I watched football on Saturday, and
it was a big Tennessee Georgia game, which Tennessee lost.
They did. Yeah. They didn't. Georgia looked really good in that game. Mm-hmm. So I told my dad, I go, "Oh, the Georgia game's on, Dad. We should watch it." And he goes, "I didn't know you liked football. I didn't know you even understood what football was." And I was like, "Yeah, Dad. Every once in a while, I watch football." And he's like, "Ah, God, whatever." He didn't believe me. Even my dad doesn't think I'm a man. He's like, "Ah, whatever."
Brian.
What can you do? I'm just a boy. Just a boy trying to learn the world.
That's right.
All right.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's Wednesday, and now that we've talked about our
everything from the weekend,
we got to understand that's how we record. Yeah. Thanks to Ron Funches for bunches and bunches of Funches.
This
weekend. Ron was great.
He was.
He is great. I do love me some Ron. Everybody had told us how wonderful Ron was, and not it wasn't even pretend not true. It was like so true. It wasn't even funny.
He was a lot more intellectual than I would have thought. And I liked it.
Yeah, I just thought he was a very sweet man. Mm-hmm. He was really nice. And you could not believe how excited my kids were when I told them I talked to Cooper from the Trolls. Oh my God, they were through the roof. Anyway, go check out all of Ron's stuff. There's links in the show notes from Tuesdays. Check out The Office Lady, now available on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Congratulations to their new deal with Odyssey. Hopefully we'll sign a new deal with Odyssey, similar to The Office Ladies, very soon.
Oh, yeah. We've got to.
I don't know how much they got paid, but I think we're worth quite a little bit more, actually.
Yeah.
We put out 3 times as much content as they do.
Or anyone else.
Or anyone else in the entire podcast landscape. There you go. All right. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go for more information about the show. You get all the audio and all the video right there, one location, and you can get your free TCB bumper sticker. All you got to do is hit the Contact Us button, drop down menu, I want my free sticker, give us your physical address, and away it will go. Pretty soon, every episode of The Commercial Break will be available on YouTube. Congratulations, we'll let you know when that is, but we're going to get back to it. For a while, we had a streak there for about 4 months where we had every episode up there. But for various different reasons, it didn't work out. But here we are back again, doing it again. So
and Spotify stuff, right?
We're going to be putting all of our videos on Spotify sooner rather than later. I will let you know when that happens. Right now, we're peppering some videos in there to test it. And as soon as we can get it worked out, then I'll let you know when all the videos will be available on Spotify. Have the Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. 212-433-3TCB. Okay, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I do say, we will say, and we must say,
goodbye.